enchanted spot home, I was hooked. It was market day, and we wandered in and out of stalls, picking up fresh fruit to snack on later. I've seen beautiful places on this earth, but this town was heaven for me. I'd truly never experienced anything like it. Now, I had been traveling alone for years, finding my own company quite pleasant. But traveling with Simon, it was cool. Just cool. He was quiet the way I am when I'm seeing something new. He never felt the need to fill a silence with chattery words. We were content to soak up the scenery. When we did speak, it was to point out something we thought the other shouldn't miss, like the puppies playing in a dooryard, or an old man and woman talking back and forth over their balconies. He was a great companion. We strolled back to the rental car, the afternoon sun toasting through the thin cotton covering my shoulders, when my hand tangled with his in the most unassuming way, and when he took the time to open my door for me and lean down to kiss me in the warm Spanish sunshine. His lips and the smell of olive trees were the only things I needed in the entire world. In the time I'd known Simon, I'd committed several images of him to memory. Seeing him for the first time, clad only in a sheet and a smirk. Driving back across the bridge with him the night of Jillian's housewarming when we called a truce. Warped and blurry Simon as seen from inside an afghan. Backlit by tiki torches, wet and looking devilishly handsome by the hot tub. In a recent addition to my Best of Simons, the sight of him underneath me as he clutched me close, his warm skin and sweet breath all over me as we nooked in the giant bed of sin. But nothing, and I mean nothing, was hotter than watching Simon work. I mean it. I actually had to fan myself a little, which he took no notice of because when he was working, he was delightfully focused. And now, here I sat, watching Simon work. We'd driven up the coast to get some test shots at a place a local guide had told him about, and the perilously handsome Simon now concentrated completely on the task at hand. As he'd explained to me, it wasn't about the actual pictures he was taking. It was about testing the light and the colors. So as he scrambled his way from rock to rock, I sat on a blanket we dug out of the trunk and observed. Perched on cliffs high above the sea, we could see for miles. The rocky shoreline stretched and curled back in on itself as millions of waves poured in from the deep sea. And while the scenery was gorgeous, what had my attention was the way the tip of Simon's tongue poked out as he surveyed the scene. The way he bit on his lower lip as he puzzled over something. The way excitement broke over his face when he saw something new through his lens. I was glad I had something to do, something to fixate on, as the beginning of a battle was starting to wage inside my body. Ever since we'd acknowledged the pressure that giant bed could have placed on us, all I could think about was that very pressure. As well as the pressure of an O long denied, waiting patiently, and sometimes impatiently, for her release. The pressure was so strong, so intense, that every single part of me could feel it. Currently taking sides in this internal debate were Brain, Lower Caroline, speaking for the distant O, Backbone, and although she'd mainly kept quiet lately, letting Brain and nerves take control, Heart was now weighing in. It should be noted that LC, Lower Caroline wanted a hip but abbreviated name, had somehow drafted Simon's penis into the fray. And even though his penis didn't have direct access to her yet, L.C. felt it necessary to speak up on his behalf. While I didn't much like the term penis, internally I felt strange about calling him dick or cock, so penis it was, for now. Now, backbone and brain were solidly in the wait-for-sex camp, believing this essential to the foundation of this burgeoning relationship. LC, and therefore Simon's penis, were in the have sex with him as soon as possible society, obviously. O, while not officially in residence, could be counted among LC's supporters. But I felt a twinge, and just a twinge, of her floating above both camps, along with Hart, who was currently singing songs about everlasting love and warm, fluffy things. Take all this into account, and what do you have? One totally confused Caroline. A Caroline divided. No wonder I had sworn off dating. This shit was tough. So was I glad to have something to think about other than the pressure cooker of sex indeterminate? Yes. Could I spend a little more time trying to come up with a more clever name for Simon's penis? Probably. It deserved it. Mammoth male member? No. Pulsating pillar of passion? No. Backdoor bandit? Hell no. Wang? Sounded like the noise those door stopper things made when you flicked them. I said it out loud to myself a few times, cracking myself up a little. Wang. 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 I muttered. Hey, nighty girl, get yourself over here, Simon called, breaking me out of my Wang study. I left behind the mental battle, picking my way carefully across the craggy rocks to where he was poised.
I need you.
Here?
Now?
I snorted. He lowered his camera just enough to raise one eyebrow.
I need you for scale. Get over there.
He pointed me toward the edge of the cliff.
What? No, no. No pictures.
I backed away toward my blanket.
Yes, yes, pictures. Come on. I need something in the foreground. Get over there.
But I'm a mess. I'm all windblown and sunburned, see?
I pulled down my V-neck just a little to show him how I was beginning to pink up.
While I always appreciate you showing me your cleavage, save it, sister. This is just for me, just to give me some perspective, and you don't look windblown.
Well, only a little. He tapped his foot.
You're not going to make me pose with a rose in my teeth, are you? I sighed, shuffling over to the edge.
Do you have a rose?
He asked, looking serious except for the shit-eating grin.
Shut it, you. Take your pictures. Okay, just be natural. No posing, just stand there. Facing the water would be great, he instructed.
I complied. He moved around me, trying different angles, and I could hear him muttering about what was working. I admit, even though I was shy about having my picture taken, I could almost feel his eyes through the lens watching me. He moved around for only a few moments, but it felt longer. The internal war was beginning to wage again.
You almost done?
You can't rush perfection, Caroline. I need to get the job done right, he warned. But yes, almost done. You getting hungry?
I want those clementines in the basket. Grab me one? Or will that mess with your masterpiece?
Won't mess with it. I'll call it Windblown Girl on a Cliff with a Clementine.
He laughed and headed back over to the car. You're funny, I said wryly, catching the tiny orange he threw me and starting to peel.
Are you sharing?
I suppose so.
The least I could do for the man who brought me here, right?
I laughed, biting into a wedge and feeling the juice dribble down my chin.
You got a hole in your lip?
He asked, capturing the moment as I rolled my eyes at him.
Do you actually think you're funny, or are you just assuming you might be?
I countered, beckoning him over with the peel. He shook his head, laughing as he took a wedge. Of course, he took a bite and no dribble.
He opened his eyes wide in feigned amazement, and I took the opportunity to smash another wedge in his face. His eyes remained wide open as juice now ran freely over the tip of his nose and onto his chin.
"Messy Simon,"
I whispered as he looked at me. In a flash, he pressed his lips to mine, getting juice all over both of us as I squealed into his mouth.
"Sweet Caroline,"
he whispered through his grin. He turned us so the sea was behind us, held up the camera, and took a picture. Us, covered in orange mush.
"By the way, why were you saying Wang earlier?"
he asked.
I just laughed harder.
"This is it. This is now officially the single best thing I have ever had in my mouth," I announced, closing my eyes and moaning.
"You've said that about everything you've eaten tonight."
"I know, but I seriously can't handle how good this is. Smack me, pinch me, throw me overboard. This is too good," I moaned again. We sat at a little table in the corner of a small restaurant in town, and I was determined to try everything. Simon, showing off his language skills, had ordered for us. I told him to go for it, that I was in his hands and I knew he wouldn't steer me wrong. And the boy did good. We feasted. We went with traditional tapas, of course, accompanied by glasses of the house wine. Little bowls and plates showed up at the table every few minutes after that. Tiny pork meatballs, slices of ham, marinated mushrooms, beautiful sausages, grilled squid with fruity local olive oil. With each bite, I was sure that I had just eaten the best thing ever. Then another wave of gorgeous food would show up and convince me once again. And then these prawns arrived. Unreal! Fried crispy in olive oil with tons of garlic and parsley, smoky paprika, and just a hint of heat. I swooned. I actually swooned. Simon? He loved it. He ate it up. My reactions as much as the food, I think. He ate it up. "Honestly, I can't handle any more," I protested, dragging a piece of crusty bread through the olive oil. He smiled as he watched me shamelessly enjoy another piece of bread before finally pushing back from the table with a groan.
"Best meal ever?" he asked.
"It really might be. That was insane." I sighed, patting my full tummy. Ladylike, schmady-like. I'd pounded that meal down like someone was going to take it away from me. A waiter appeared with two small glasses of a local wine. Sweet and crisp, it was the perfect after-dinner drink. We sipped slowly, the breeze coming in through the windows lightly scented with the sea air. This was a great date, Simon. "Really, couldn't have been more perfect," I said, taking another sip of my wine.
"Was this a date?" he asked.
My face froze. "I mean, no, I suppose not. I just..."
"Relax, Caroline. I know what you meant. It's just funny to consider this a date. Two people traveling together, but only now on a date."
He smiled, and I relaxed. We haven't really followed the traditional rules so far, have we? This might even be our first date, if we wanted to get technical.
Well, technically speaking, what defines a date? He asked.
Dinner, I suppose. Although we've had dinner before, I began.
And a movie. We've already had a movie, he reminded me.
I shuddered. Yes, and that was definitely a ploy to get me to snuggle with you.
Scary movie. So obvious, I scoffed. It worked, didn't it? In fact,
I do believe I slept with you that night, Nighty Girl.
Yes. I'm cheap and easy, I admit it.
I suppose we really did do this whole thing backward.
I grinned, sliding my foot across the floor under the table and kicking him lightly.
I like it backward.
He smirked. I narrowed my eyes.
Not touching that one. Seriously, though. As I've mentioned, I have no experience with this stuff, he said. How does this work? What if we were doing this not backward? What would happen next?
Well, I suppose there would be another date and another after that, I admitted, smiling shyly.
And bases. I'd be expected to try to round some bases, right?
He asked seriously.
I spluttered my wine. Bases? Are you for real? As in, cop a feel, over the shirt, under the shirt, those bases? I laughed incredulously. Yes, exactly. What am I allowed to get away with? As a gentleman, I mean. If this were truly a first date, we wouldn't be going home together, would we? Dating now, not hooking up. Remember, apparently I give good woo, he said, eyes twinkling. Yes, yes you do. We wouldn't be going home together, that's true. But to be honest, I don't want you sleeping in the bedroom down the hall. Is that weird? I could feel my ears burning as I blushed. It's not weird, he answered quietly. I slipped off my sandal and pressed my foot against his, rubbing lightly along his leg. Nooking is good, right? Nooking is most definitely good,
he agreed, nudging back with his own foot. As far as your bases are concerned, I think you could definitely plan on a little under-the-shirt action, if you were so inclined, I answered. Internally, brain and backbone gave a little cheer, while L.C. and Wang kicked a few chairs. Tatas were thrilled that someone was considering them for once, instead of being just a stopover on the way to Point South. Heart? Well, she was still flitting about, singing her song.
So we go a little traditional, but not totally traditional. Take it slow?
He asked. His eyes burning, the sapphires beginning to do their little hypnotic dance. Slow, but not too slow. We are grown-ups, for goodness sake.
To under-the-shirt action, he announced, raising his glass in toast.
I'll drink to that. I laughed as we clinked. 57 minutes later, we were in bed, his hands warm and sure as he slipped each button through, revealing my skin. He went slowly, purposefully, and he let my shirt fall open as I lay beneath him. He gazed down at me, his fingertips lightly drawing a line from my collarbone to my navel, straight and true. We both sighed at the same time. I can't explain it, but knowing we'd set some boundaries for the evening, silly as it may be, made it so much more sensual, something to be truly savored. His lips hovered around my neck, whispering tiny kisses against my skin, below my ear, under my chin, in the dip between my neck and my shoulder, and working his way down to the swell of my breasts. His fingers swept out, lightly, reverently, ghosting across the sensitive skin as I inhaled and then held my breath. As his fingers gently grazed my nipple, every nerve ending in my entire body reversed and began to pulse in that direction. I exhaled,
feeling months of tension begin to simultaneously flow out of me and build up even more. With sweet kisses and soft touches, he began the process of getting to know my body, and it was exactly what I needed. Lips, mouth, tongue, all of it on me, tasting, stroking, feeling, and loving. As his lips closed around my breast, his hair tickled my chin in the cutest way, and I wrapped my arms around him, holding him close. The feeling of his skin against mine was perfection and something I'd never experienced before. I felt worshipped. As we explored that night, what started out as funny and cute and part of our classic banter became something more. What was crassly called under-the-shirt action became part of a romance, and something that could have been merely physical became something emotional and pure. And when he cradled me to him, bringing me into his nook with tender kisses and breathless giggles, we fell into a contented sleep. Flaily and Mr. Snorri Pants. For the next 2 days, I luxuriated. Truly, there isn't another word in the English language to articulate the experience I indulged in. Now, for some, the definition of a luxurious vacation might be endless shopping, spa pampering, expensive meals, elaborate shows. But to me, luxurious meant spending 2 hours napping in the sun on the terrace off the kitchen. Luxurious meant eating figs dripping with honey and dotted with crumbles of local cheese while Simon poured me another glass of cava, all before 10 a.m. Luxurious meant time alone to wander through the small family stores of Nera, poking through bins of beautiful lace. Luxurious meant exploring the nearby caves with Simon while he photographed, losing ourselves in the colors under the earth. Luxurious meant gazing at Simon dangling from a rock face while he searched out another foothold, shirtless. Did I mention shirtless? And luxurious most certainly meant that I got to spend each night in that bed with Simon. Now that's a priceless luxury not offered on every grand tour. We rounded another base or two, teasing each other with a little over-the-panties encounter. Were we being ridiculous, waiting until the last night in Spain to consummate this thing? Probably. But who the hell cared? He spent almost an hour kissing every inch of my legs one night, and I spent about the same amount of time having a conversation with his belly button. We just enjoyed. But with all this enjoyment came a certain amount of, well, how shall we say, nervous energy? Back in San Francisco, we'd spent months engaged in verbal foreplay. But now, here, the actual foreplay? It was not to be believed. My body was so in tune with his, I knew when he walked into the room, and I knew when he was about to touch me, seconds before he did. The air between us was sexually charged, vibes zinging back and forth with enough energy to light up the entire town. Sexual chemistry? Had it. Sexual frustration? On the rise and getting close to critical. Oh, hell, I'll say it. I was H-O-R-N-Y. Which was why, after we spent the afternoon in the caves, we found ourselves in the kitchen, kissing madly. We were both a little tired from the day, and I'd been wanting to test out that beautiful Viking range. I was preparing vegetables for the grill and stirring some saffron rice when he came in after a shower. It's almost impossible for me to explain the sight of him. Worn white t-shirt, faded jeans, barefoot, scrubbing at his wet hair with a towel. He grinned, and I began to see double. I literally couldn't see through the haze of lust and need I suddenly felt surge through me. I needed my hands to be on his body, and I needed it to happen immediately.
Something smells good. Want me to get the grill started?
He asked, walking over to where I was chopping vegetables at the counter. He stood behind me, his body only inches from mine, and something snapped, and it wasn't just the pea pod I was holding. I turned around, and my tummy actually fluttered at the sight of him. It freaking fluttered. I pressed my hand against his chest, feeling the strength there and the warmth of his skin through the cotton. Reason waved bye-bye, and this was now purely physical. An itch that needed to be scratched, scratched, and then scratched again. I slid my hand up around the back of his neck and pulled him down to me. My lips crashed against his, my intense need for him pouring into his mouth and down to the tips of my toes. Toes that kicked off their flip-flops and started shamelessly rubbing themselves across the tops of his feet. My body needed to feel skin, any skin, and needed it now. He responded, matching my rough kisses with his own, his mouth covering mine as I groaned at the feel of his hands on the small of my back. I quickly spun him around and pressed him up against the counter. Off. I need this off now, I muttered between kisses, yanking at his t-shirt. In a great whoosh of fabric, his shirt was thrown across the room as I maneuvered my body against his, sighing as I felt the contact. I was alternately trying to hug him and climb him, the lust now running freely through my body like a freight train. I reached between us and palmed him through his jeans. His eyes caught mine, and they crossed a little. I was on the right track, feeling him getting harder by the second under my fingertips. Suddenly, all I wanted, all I needed, all I had to have to function in life was him in my mouth.
Hey, nighty girl, what are you... Oh, God!
Moving instinctively, I snapped open his jeans, dropped to my knees before him, and brought him forth. My pulse raced, and I think my blood actually boiled within me as I saw him. My breath drew in with a hiss as I regarded him, faded jeans pushed down just enough to frame this luminous sight. Simon does commando. God bless America. I wanted to be gentle. I wanted to be tender and sweet, but I simply needed him too badly. I glanced up at him, his eyes clouded but frantic, as his hands came down to brush my hair back from my face. I took his hands in my own and placed them back on the counter. You're gonna wanna hold on for this, I promised. He groaned a delicious groan, and doing as he was told, leaned back a little. He pushed his hips forward, but kept his eyes on mine, always on mine. My lips purred as I slipped his length inside my mouth. His head dropped back as my tongue caressed him, taking him in deeper. The pure pleasure of this, the absolute pleasure of feeling his reaction to me, was enough to make my head split in two. I drew him back out, letting my teeth just barely graze his sensitive skin as I saw him grip the edge of counter even harder. I ran my nails up the inside of his legs, pushing his jeans farther down for more access to his warm skin.
Pressing kisses across the tip of him, I let my hands come up to grasp him, stroking and massaging. He was perfect, all smooth and taut as I took him in again and again and again. I felt crazed, drunk on his scent and the feel of him inside me. He moaned my name over and over again, his words drifting down like molten chocolate sexy times, pouring inside my brain and dedicating every sense I had to him, only to him. On and on I went, making him crazy, making me crazy, licking, sucking, tasting, teasing, luxuriating in the madness that was this luscious act. To have him here in this way was the very definition of luxury. He stiffened further, and his hands finally came back to me, trying to make me pull back. Caroline, oh, Caroline, I'm... You... First, you... Oh, God, you... He stuttered. Luckily, I was able to interpret. He wanted me to have something as well. What he didn't realize is that this total abandon he was giving me was all I needed. I released him only for a moment, to place his hands once more on the counter. No, Simon. You, I replied, taking him in deeply once more, feeling him hit the back of my throat as my hands tended to the rest of him that my mouth could not. His hips moved once, then again, and with a shudder and the most scrumptious groan I've ever heard, Simon came, threw his head back, closed his eyes, and let go. It was wonderful. Moments later, crumpled into me on the floor of the kitchen, he sighed contentedly. Good Lord, Caroline. That was unexpected. I giggled, bending down to kiss his forehead. I couldn't control myself. You just looked way too good, and I got carried away.
I'll say, although I don't think it's fair that I'm somewhat exposed here, and you're still fully clothed. We could remedy that pretty quickly, though.
He pulled at the drawstring on my pants. I stopped him. First of all, you aren't somewhat exposed. You are hanging free on the kitchen floor, and I quite like it. And this wasn't about me, although I admit I enjoyed it immensely.
Silly girl. Now I want to enjoy you immensely,
he persisted, running his fingers along the edge of my pants, dancing around the skin there. Nerves began to dance the flamenco, demanding more time, not ready. L.C. kicked some things. No, no, not tonight. I want to make you a nice dinner. Let me take care of you a little bit. Can't I just do that? I removed his devil hands and kissed them. He smiled up at me, his hair messy and a goofy grin still adorning his face. He sighed in defeat and nodded. I started to climb off the floor when he caught me around the waist, pulling me back down.
A word, please, before you leave me. What did you say? Hanging free on the kitchen floor?
Yes, dear, I asked, earning a raised eyebrow.
So, using the base rounding point of reference we've applied to this week, I'd say we just skipped ahead a few dates, yes?
I should say so.
I laughed, patting him lightly on the head.
Then I think it's only fair to warn you. Tomorrow night, your last night in Spain, he said, his eyes blazing through the twilight.
Yes, I whispered.
I'm gonna try to steal home.
I smiled. Silly Simon. It's not stealing. If I wave you in, I purred, kissing him solidly on the lips. Later that night, as I lay wrapped thickly in Simon, L.C. began to prepare, and brain and backbone began to chant,
"Oh, oh, oh, Wang?" Well, we knew where he was,
pressed rather closely against backbone. Heart continued to float above, but was circling ever closer to home. However, an additional entity began to assert herself once again, trying to influence the others. She tinted my dreams with her quiet whispering. Hello, nerves. My sleep was most decidedly flaily.
Chapter 18. Did you always know you wanted to take pictures for a living?
What? Where did that come from?
Simon laughed, sitting back in his chair and looking at me over the rim of his coffee cup. We were enjoying a lazy breakfast on my last day in Spain. Dark coffee, tiny little lemon cakes, freshly cut berries and cream, and a side of sunny coastline. Clad in Simon's shirt and a smile, I was in heaven. Nerves seemed very far away this morning.
I mean it, I insisted. Did you always want to do this? You seem, well, you're very intense when you're working. You seem like you really love it.
I do love it. I mean, it's a job, so it has its tedious moments, but yeah, I love it. It wasn't something I always planned, though. In fact, there was a different plan altogether,
he replied, a dark look passing over his face. What do you mean?
For a long time, I planned on following my father into his business.
He sighed, a rueful smile slipping into place. My hand was in his before I even realized I'd offered it. He squeezed and then took another sip of his coffee.
Did you know Benjamin worked for my father?
He asked.
Dad hired him right out of school, mentored him, taught him everything. When Benjamin wanted to go out on his own, you'd think Dad would have been pissed, but he was so proud of him.
He's the best, I grinned.
Don't think I don't know about the crush you girls have on him. I'm aware.
He gave me a stern look.
I'd hope so. We're not exactly subtle in our admiration. Parker Financial Services was getting big, really big, and Dad wanted me to come on board as soon as I was done with college. I honestly never thought I'd leave Philadelphia. It would have been a great life, working with my dad, country club, big house in the burbs. Who wouldn't want that?
Well, I murmured. It was an idyllic life, for sure, but I couldn't picture Simon there.
I worked on our high school newspaper, taking pictures. I took the class as an easy A, you know, good for my transcript. But even though I got assignments like covering the women's field hockey tryouts, I really liked it. Like, really liked it. I just figured it would always be a nice hobby. Never really thought about it as a career. My parents supported me, though, and my mom even got me a camera for Christmas that year. The year that... Well...
He paused, clearing his throat a bit.
Anyway, after everything happened with Mom and Dad, Benjamin came out to Philadelphia for the funeral. He stayed for a while, got things in order, you know.
He was the executor of my parents' will, and since he was living out on the West Coast, well, the idea of staying behind in Philadelphia didn't sound so great. So, long story short, Stanford accepted me. I started studying photojournalism. I got really lucky with some internships, and then right place, right time, and bam. That's how I got into this gig. He finished, dunking his cake and taking a bite. And you love it. I smiled. And I love it. He agreed.
So what happened to your dad's company, Parker Financial? I asked, spooning up a bite of berries.
Benjamin took over some of the clients for a while, and over time he quietly closed up shop. The assets were transferred to me, per the will, and he manages it for me.
Assets?
Yep. Didn't I tell you that, Caroline? I'm loaded.
He winced, looking out to sea.
I knew there was a reason I was hanging out with you. I topped off his coffee. Seriously, loaded.
Okay, now you're just being an ass, I said, trying to lift the tension that had settled over the table.
Well, people get weird about money. You never know, he said.
When we get home, you're buying our building and installing a hot tub on the landing, that's all, I joked, which earned me a small smile. We sat and looked at each other, deep in our own thoughts. He'd done so much alone. No wonder he always seemed a little lost to me. Living out of a suitcase, not allowing himself to be tethered to anyone, no real sense of belonging. Could it really be that simple? Wallbanger had haremed because he couldn't stand to lose anyone else? Paging Dr. Freud. Freudian or no, it made sense to me. He was attracted to me, had been attracted to me since the beginning. But what was different this time? Clearly he'd been attracted to all the other women as well.
Wow, no pressure at all.
With a toss of my head, I tried to change the subject. I can't believe I'm leaving tomorrow. I feel like we just got here. I leaned forward on my elbows. He smiled, likely noticing my not-so-subtle way of changing the subject. But he seemed grateful.
So stay. Stay with me. We can spend a few more days here, and then, who knows? Where else do you want to go?
You'll recall that I'm leaving before you because it's the only flight I could get. Besides, I have to be back at work, organized, and in the right time zone on Monday. You know how many jobs Jillian has lined up for me?
She'll understand. She's a sucker for a good romance. Come on. Stay with me. I'll stash you in the overhead bin for the flight home.
His eyes twinkled over his coffee mug.
Overhead bin, my foot. And is this what this is?
A romance? Shouldn't you be embracing me on the beach and ripping my bodice? I placed my bare legs in his lap, and he took full advantage of this, massaging between his warm hands.
Lucky for you, I'm a bodice ripper from way back. I could probably even throw together a pirate costume, if that's what you're into,
he replied, the sapphires beginning to smoke. It has been quite a romantic tale, hasn't it?
If someone would have told me this story, I doubt I'd have believed it, I mused, groaning as I finished my last bite. Why not? It's not that strange how we met, is it?
How many women do you know who would voluntarily go to Europe with a man who'd been banging the plaster right off her walls for weeks?
True, but you could also spin me as the guy who played you all those great records through the wall. And the guy who gave you, and I quote, the best meatball ever.
I suppose you did begin to wear me down with the Glenn Miller. That got me.
I sunk into my chair as his hands did delicious things to the bottoms of my socked feet. Socks I had also appropriated from his side of the room.
I got you, huh?
He smirked, leaning closer.
Oh, shut it, you.
I pushed his face away, smiling big as I contemplated what he said. Did he have me? Yeah. He totally had me, and would have me sometime later that night. At that thought, a whoosh of nerves hit my tummy, and I felt my smile falter a bit. Nerves had set up shop big time, and no matter where brain went, eventually nerves invaded every thought, every idea I had about where the night would go. I was ready. Lord knows I was ready, but I was damn nervous. O would come back, right? I knew she would. Did I mention I was nervous? So, are you almost done with your work? Do you still have a lot to do tomorrow? I asked, changing the subject once again. As was always the case when he talked about his work, Simon's eyes lit up. He described the shots he still needed of the Roman-style aqueduct in town. I wish we had time to go scuba diving. I hate that we ran out of time. I frowned.
Again, something that would be solved if you stayed here with me.
He frowned back, making a big deal of mimicking my eyebrows. Again, some of us have 9-to-5 jobs. I have to get home.
Home. Right. You know, there's going to be a firing squad to face when we get home. Everyone is going to want to know what happened here between us,
he said seriously. I know. We'll handle it. I cringed at the grilling I'd received from the girls, to say nothing of Jillian. I wonder if the kitchen blowjob was what she had in mind when she said, take care of him in Spain.
We?
What? We what? I asked.
I could we with you.
He smiled. Aren't we already weeing?
Yeah, we're weeing on vacation. It's quite a different thing to be weeing back home in the real world. I travel all the time, and that takes its toll on the we unit, he said, his brow knit together.
It took all my power, all of it, not to make a joke about the we unit. Simon, chill. I know you travel, I'm well aware. Keep bringing me pretty things from faraway places, and this girl has no problem with your we, okay? I patted his hand.
Pretty things I can do, guaranteed.
Speaking of, where are you off to next?
I'll be home for a few weeks, and then I'm headed down south for a bit.
Down south? As in L.A.?
No, a bit more south.
San Diego?
Souther.
Stanford educated, right? Where are you going?
Promise you won't be mad?
Spit it out, Simon.
Peru. The Andes. More specifically, Machu Picchu.
What? Oh, man, that's it. I officially hate you. I'll be in San Francisco planting rich people's Christmas trees, and you get to go there?
I'll send you a postcard.
He looked like a kid trying to get out of trouble.
Besides, I don't know what you're so pissy about. You love your job, Caroline. Don't even try to tell me you don't.
Yeah, I love my job. But right now I wish I was headed south, I huffed, snatching my feet away.
Well, if you want to head south, I can think of something.
I placed my hand in front of his mouth. No way, buddy. I'm not machuing your Pichu now. I stated firmly, not wavering one bit when he began pressing open-mouth kisses against my palm. Not one bit.
Caroline,
he whispered against my hand. Yes.
One day,
he began, removing my hand and leaving tiny kisses up the inside of my arm.
One day,
kiss,
I promise,
kiss, kiss,
to bring you,
kiss,
and my woo,
kiss, kiss,
to Peru.
He finished, now kneeling in front of me and dragging his mouth across my shoulder, peeling the fabric away to linger along my collarbone, his lips making me hot and shivery.
You want to woo me in Peru?
I asked, my voice high and stupid, and not fooling him for a second. He knew exactly how he was affecting me.
True.
His fingers tangled in my hair and brought my mouth to his. I tried for a second to come up with something that rhymed with true, but I gave up and kissed him back with all I had. And so I let him make out with me on the terrace, overlooking the ocean, which was blue.
Ahem.
All week long, we'd been seeing signs of a festival coming together around town. It started tonight, as if celebrating my departure, and we were headed out to dinner to somewhere considerably more fancy than the places we'd been eating all week. I discovered Simon and I were very similar in many of our tastes. I was all for getting dressed up from time to time, but I much preferred smaller, casual places, as did he. So tonight, getting dressed up and going out someplace a little fancy, and then maybe hitting the festival, had a special feel to it. I was definitely looking forward to this evening, in more ways than one. They say when a soldier loses a leg in battle, sometimes late at night, he can still feel twinges of that leg. Phantom pain, they call it. I lost my O in battle. The battle of Corey Weinstein, that machine gun fucker, and I was still feeling the aftershocks. And by aftershocks, I mean nothing at all. But there was an end in sight. I'd been feeling twinges of the Phantom O all week long, and I was very much looking forward to her return later this evening. The Return of the O. Of course I would see it as a title of some kind of action film in my head, but truly, if she was returning, I would capitalize anything. Anything. Because tonight's sports fans, I was gonna get me some. Not to put too fine a point on it, I was ready for some serious Simon Wang. I ran my fingers through my hair once more, noticing how the strong sun had brought out the natural honey tones. I smoothed the front of my dress, white linen with a little swing to the skirt. I paired it with some turquoise jewelry I'd bought in town and little snakeskin sandals. I was the most dressed up I'd been all week and, undercurrent of nerves aside, feeling pretty good. I took one last look at myself in the mirror, noticing that my cheeks were pretty pink and I hadn't even added blush tonight. I went to the kitchen to pour myself a quick glass of wine and wait for Simon. As I poured the cava, I saw him on the terrace facing the ocean. I smirked when I saw he was wearing a white linen shirt. We'd be quite matchy-matchy tonight. Khakis completed his look, and he turned just as I was walking out to meet him. My heels clicked across the stone as I sipped my bubbly wine, and he leaned back on his arms across the wrought iron railing. As a photographer, He was innately aware of this kind of imagery he was creating. I felt certain. Any time he leaned, he oozed sex. I just hoped I didn't fall in my heels. Sex ooze could be slippery. I offered my wine to him, and he let me bring the glass to his lips. Slowly, he sipped, his eyes on mine. When I removed the glass, he quickly wrapped an arm around my waist and pulled me to him, kissing me deeply, the taste of wine heavy on his tongue. "You look good," he breathed, pulling away from my lips to press his mouth against the skin just below my ear, his scruff tickling me in the most fantastic way. "Good?" I asked, tilting my head back to encourage everything he was doing. "Good. Good enough to eat," he whispered, grazing my neck with his teeth just enough to make me aware of them. "Wow," was all I could manage as I wrapped my arms around his neck and sank into his embrace. The sun was beginning to set, casting a warm glow all around, making the terracotta blaze red and orange, coating us in fire. My eyes were drawn to the cool blue of the sea crashing against the rocks below, the salt in the air actually present on my tongue. I clung to him, letting myself feel and experience everything. His body hard and warm against my own, the feel of his shaggy hair against my cheek, the heat of the railing against my hip, the rush of every cell in my body curling toward this man, and the pleasure he would surely bring me. "You ready?" he asked, his voice gruff in my ear. "So ready," I moaned, my eyes rolling back in my head at the nearness of him, the feel of him. And then Simon took me to town. After Simon had driven me to the brink with his kissing on the terrace, he'd literally driven me to the brink. We were now at a restaurant overlooking the water, which was easy to do in a coastal town, but where the little hole-in-the-wall places we'd been frequenting this week had their cozy charm, this was a romantic restaurant with an emphasis on romance. Romance was served on a platter here. It was in the wine, the pictures on the walls, the floor beneath our feet, and in case you missed the romance, it was also being piped in through the air. If I squinted, I could see the word romance floating through the air on the sea breeze. I had to really squint, but it was there, I tell you. Floor-to-ceiling window panels had been rolled back to let in the briny coastal air, and hundreds of tiny tea lights sparkled in hurricane glasses. Each table was dressed in white, with low tumblers spilling over with dahlia blooms in rich shades of crimson, pomegranate, and lusty fuchsia. Tiny white Christmas lights twisted into the wooden beams overhead cast a magical sepia tone over the entire scene. In this restaurant, there were no children, no tables of four or six. No. This restaurant was filled with lovers, old and new. Now we sat, pressed closely together, at an epic mahogany bar, slowly sipping wine and awaiting our own tiny table. Simon's hand settled against the small of my back, claiming me quietly and succinctly. The bartender placed a tray of oysters on the bar in front of us. Twisted and craggy, they glistened, with slices of lemon nestled here and there. Simon raised an eyebrow, and I nodded as he squeezed the lemon, his strong and elegant fingers making short, erotic work of the oysters. He pried one from its home and brought it to my mouth on a tiny fork. "Open up, nighty girl," he instructed,
and I surely did as I was told. Cold, crisp, like a burst of seawater in my mouth, I moaned around the fork as he slipped the tines back out. He grasped his own oyster and tossed it back like a man, licking his lips as I watched this little bit of food pornography play out. He winked at me as I looked away, trying not to let on how desperately turned on I was. The entire day had been